There are varieties, like I mentioned the previous talk that we had, like SL28 that I dearly want to preserve because I have not found any new variety coming along that comes close to that in terms of the flavor and sweetness of that coffee.
Right.
So that's one issue. How do you protect that?
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapa Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapaforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapa Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 3 of a fantastic 5-part series with the esteemed George Howell. George, we are talking about the coffee industry according to you. And in this episode, I want to talk about the role that varieties are playing at the moment. And you and I have had a couple of conversations off air about things like Best of Panama. We have been talking about Pink Bourbon. We have been talking about a lot of things around that. And in this coffee crisis that we're experiencing, I would like to ask you, what role do you think varieties are going to play in how we navigate this coffee crisis, or what the outcome is going to be?
Yeah. I think it's going to be huge.
Really?
Right? Well, it's necessary in a lot of cases. In Guatemala, Central America in general, we're seeing that Bourbon, for instance, an age-old variety,
Yep.
From the early days, is really in a crisis. It's not producing as much. Pretty much every farm I go to, that's a complaint. It's harder to maintain in a time where labor and everything else is going up. And farmers are not getting paid the price they should be for coffee that requires that much attention, that much labor, and that much space. Plain and simple. And looking for varieties now that are more disease resistant, because as we've seen, with rust and other diseases that are only on the increase.
Yep.
Farmers are being constantly hit and having to involve fungicides.
Yep.
Over and over again. Not good for pickers, not good for anyone.
Yep.
In the long run. So yeah, we need a way out of this. There are varieties, like I mentioned the previous talk that we had, like SL28 that I dearly want to preserve because I have not found any new variety coming along that comes close to that in terms of the flavor and sweetness of that coffee.
Right.
So that's one issue. How do you protect that? How do you form a ring around it so that nothing comes up? Or, does regenerative agriculture have solutions that we're not aware of yet that can help us resist that without poisoning the earth further? Right. And then there are new hybrids that are coming up that is really fascinating. One was in Guatemala, La Soledad in Acatenango turned Jenny and me onto that, the H1, which I believe is an F1 type hybrid.
Okay. Right? Have they got it to F2 yet?
There is now it's F10.
F10?
Right? Which is very similar, which I have not tried enough to really comment on the flavor, but very similar to the H1 flavor-wise, but that has a better root system, I understand, right? Mm-hmm. Et cetera, it's an improvement. But the H1, we really love. It's really good. It's a coffee, right? It's
right.
Really got full coffee flavor, which in and of itself is delicious.
Yeah.
It may not have the floral and whatever, but it's incredibly satisfying, right, to drink. It really is. You know, it's like a Rhone wine or something.
Oh, wow.
Richness. So we've been buying it. That's considerably more expensive because you're talking about, you know, coming from a leaf culture as opposed to seeds.
Right.
So we're paying more for it. So it means that I'm not going to sell as much. I can buy less. I buy it and I can sell it, but I can't not sell it in right. that quantity.
Because like you don't have the customers
that
will pay.
Right. So, and you are, in order to stay alive, you've got to serve a lot of customers in a wide range of economies, right, of their own.
Yeah.
So the H1 was very exciting and opened my strong prejudices against anything involving Robusta, right?
You're being so coffee racist.
We're all learning. We've come a long way.
It sounds like you're open to like a cultural training around Robusta.
Well, yeah. It's certainly that way. It is. I mean, genetics are getting more complex.
Yeah.
Time and more fine. And the more we get into the detail, the more you can take some things and not others, ideally, right?
Well, we certainly may get to the point where we're beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yes. I mean, it's so expanding right now. And it is so, the other one is weirder. So wait a minute, there's the H1, which is definitely developed through research and such.
Okay.
And then there's Pink Bourbon, which God knows where it came from.
Right.
Right. Somebody knows, but I'm getting multiple stories.
Okay. Would you like me to look into that for you, sir?
Go. Why not? Yeah. But there's one version right now. It's definitely seems to be out of Colombia. Huila is what I'm told. There's another one, Chiroso, Catura Chiroso.
Okay.
Which I've tried one, which was okay. So I haven't had enough of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, anything yet. But that's another one that's being talked about. But Pink Bourbon has absolutely floored me, right? I mean, Jenny got these samples. She was blown away by one of them. I wasn't sure. We brought it in here. She does a lot of the cupping now.
Mm-hmm.
She's young.
She's young. Right? We've got to get Jenny on the podcast.
Good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have it. And I just had it this morning. It was really good. Calamar, right?
Okay.
So we're going to go visit Calamar, definitely, a little bit later this year. Period.
Do you worry that these things are going to go under threat? The conversations I'm having at the moment are that there are multiple forces that are taking away these beautiful coffees that we all desire, whether it's climate, whether it's labor, whether it's other cash crops that make more money.
Pink Bourbon's really interesting because it's seed. One, two, I'm 99% sure. It's apparently quite productive.
Okay.
And it seems to have more disease resistance.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay.
Right? Again, these are twinklings.
Right. And questions that need to be answered.
And buy for the next year or two.
Right.
See how it goes. But the Pink Bourbon, oh my God, it has some very delicate fruit notes to it and some floral notes.
Wow.
Are uniquely its own, right? I haven't, you know, that's the thing, the difference between cupping to me and drinking the coffee.
Mm.
It's true that you experience from hot to cold. And every time I brew it, it's a different roast than I had. And every roast is different than the last roast. You're seeing it. It's as if you were looking at a bouquet of flowers in this light and then that light and with this background. And it changes. So you really get to, like knowing a person, a personality. So it's by drinking it that you start to familiarize yourself, right? And we're in the initial stages of that.
It's a romance story, George.
Oh,
it's a love story.
It's a love story with all these different coffees, right?
Yes.
And they can do. So on the other hand, I fear that, I don't know this, but, you know, there's Ethiopia, you know, has, and this connects in with Eliana, which, by the way, was just such a heavy program that I have to thank Eliana for.
Thank you.
I mean, really eye-opener. You know, there certain flavors that I was sure of 10 years ago with washed coffees, which I loved, Ergoshef and so on, seemed to be less around than they were.
Well, and now you know why, right?
It's a lot of different things, I guess. I'm not sure why, really. That's the question. I mean, I realize that I've not heard all of Eliana's talk yet.
Right. Just very briefly to catch you up. Essentially in Ethiopia, people were not getting paid above the cost of production for their coffee.
No matter what.
Okay. No. And they're having 12 kids. They don't have the luxury of being able to, you know,
in some of the
countries.
Firsthand, that's right. That's the
right. And so it's not a difficult decision for them when somebody comes to them and says, hey, listen, if you pull up your coffee and grow chat or grow eucalyptus, we will pay you much quicker. These things turn around much quickly. You'll get a couple of crops a year out of the chat. And we'll pay you for it. Guaranteed sales. It's not going to go through this same process.
It may also be that in the rush to find disease resistance, some varieties are finding greater favor.
Right.
Than the ones that were there only a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I can't get to the bottom of what's changed and what hasn't. I don't know. I just don't know, right? I know when I was 10 years ago, there were all these varieties that came right from those forests right there.
Those forests are going away, George.
Most
of them are gone.
Varieties that are being brought in, much like what happened in Kenya with, you know, Ruwiru 11 and Batiam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without fully understanding what the consequences are.
And
right?
Pushing
something before you really tested it out in smaller amounts over time, right? There's no time. It's like everybody's in this efficiency rush before they understood what the consequences are.
And that was a gamble we took, and we are paying the debt for losing that bet now.
Yeah. That is the issue to me, right? So back to the varieties, you get the ones that are being researched.
Mm-hmm.
H1 says to me, this is good news. The H1's got a lot of sweetness to it, lots of body to it. It's capable of giving certain very delicate fruit notes. Not a lot, but it's there. And who knows? I may get the next Soledad coffees that we just purchased that are arriving and blow my mind over, wow, it's changed a little bit and it's really this way now, right?
Right.
This is learning about it, right? But I'm really excited by that. So, and then you get these crazy coffees coming out of Colombia, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, that according to some is self-generated, just happened.
Just like a mutation, you mean?
Yeah, right.
Well, that gives me hope.
It may not be true.
It's Colombia, bro.
Or it could have escaped espresso bar. I have no idea, right?
Yeah.
And I'm getting different answers to that.
Right.
But there it is, and it's definitely in the hands of lots of people now. It's not going away.
No.
And very prominent.
It's exciting. There are definitely some exciting elements of that.
Which well, can nature seems to be responding too. Ways to maybe help.
I'm rooting for her. I feel like we keep, every time she tries to help us, we find another way to throw water on her fire.
That's right. But it is, you know, it's surprising.
Yeah.
About the different responses.
And what we're going to talk about in the next episode, folks, is all of this and how we're going to tie that back to the price of coffee. Because there's so much about what we do in specialty coffee that is about the art of it. And a lot of people say, when I speak to people who come into this industry that are talking about, you know, I want to sell my products into specialty coffee, or I want to, you know, innovate in specialty coffee. And I ask them, I'm like, what do you think of the specialty coffee industry? They said, I came in hopeful and then I realized this is an expensive hobby. So we're going to talk about that in the next episode.
You either have to have deep pockets
or a lot of patience.
Yeah, it is not advisable for somebody who's got some money, but not all. I mean, you have to be very careful getting into the business.
100%. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next episode. So join us, folks. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.